The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 19. As you are turning there, just a little quick overview of where we are and what we're doing. Okay, we're at church and we're worshiping. So just to sort that out. During the season of Lent, we are looking at Psalms, and more particularly through the lens of something that the theologian Walter Brueggemann has come up with. And that is that you can categorize these Psalms in one of at least three ways: orientation, disorientation, and new orientation. And orientation is that place where things are settled and right and good. The psalmist is in a good place. You're in a good place. The things that are being expressed are true and good, and all is well. Psalms of disorientation, I think he calls them ragged, painful disarray. Psalms of disorientation are those places where we are in the mire. We are in the pit. Things are not good. Things are not settled. And then new orientation are those psalms that express, or the psalmist is expressing, where we are in a new place and God has brought me through, say, maybe the valley of the shadow of death, and now there is a place of feasting. There is a place of overflowing cup and table. So new orientation. Today's psalm is a psalm of orientation. But I want to point out something in it that at least has been helpful for me in this last week. As you know, in our small groups, and by the way, I appreciate the reports that I'm getting that the times in the small groups are really rich, and I'm glad to hear that. They are adding a lot, I think, to our discipleship. And one of the things we're asking in our small groups is, how goes it with your soul? How is your soul? Or in another way, we looked at a couple of weeks ago when God comes to Adam and Eve in the cool of the day in the garden and says, where are you? And instead of saying, I'm super, we're being given biblical tools for saying, my soul is heavy and downcast within me, or my soul finds rest in the Lord. I shared with my small group last week that my soul's been in a heavy place lately, and God and I are working some stuff out. And as I read this, what is ostensibly a psalm of orientation this week, I discovered that it had a wonderful effect upon my disorientation. And I want to share that with you. First, though, a quote that Don found for us and shared at the men's breakfast. Don Bowes brought us a wonderful reflection and meditation on Psalm 132, one of the oldest psalms in the Bible. And it's a psalm about David's obedience. But he shared a passage from Eugene Peterson, wonderful author, also a translator of the Message. You may be familiar with that. And in this particular reflection, Eugene Peterson is talking about Psalm 132. But Don, I think it really beautifully applies to this one today as well, particularly when I introduce the concept to you of creation faith. Now, if you were in a small group this last week, we talked about creation faith and how is the faith that is based upon creation or creation themes or God's creative abilities, a different kind of faith than another. And this is a Brueggemann phrase, creation faith. So keep that in the back of your mind as I read this. This, again, is from Eugene Peterson. He says, if we define the nature of our lives by the mistake of the moment or the defeat of the hour or the boredom of the day, we will define it wrongly. We need roots in the past to give obedience ballast and breadth. Isn't that a great phrase? We need roots in the past to give obedience ballast and breadth. We need a vision of the future to give obedience direction and goal. And they must be connected. He's talking about obedience. And how if we circumscribe our life based upon us and how we feel at this moment or what went wrong today, we're going to miss this amazing ballast and breadth of obedience that has to have roots in the past and has to have a direction and a goal. I'll keep going. There must be an organic unity between the two. If we never learn how to do this, That is to say, extend the boundaries of our lives beyond the dates enclosed by our birth and death, and acquire an understanding of God's way as something larger and more complete than the anecdotes in our private diaries. We will forever be missing the point of things by making headlines out of something that ought to be tucked away on page 37 in section C of the newspaper. So in other words, if you think about your life being 1964 dash and the end date, then you're going to miss the point entirely, because he says God's way is something larger and more complete. And he says, if we don't learn how to do this, we will forever be missing the point of things by making headlines out of something that ought to be tucked away on page 37 in section C of the newspaper, or putting into the classified ads something that should be getting a full page color advertisement. Mistaking a sore throat for a descent into hell. You know anybody like that? Something is so important, I've got to talk to you about this right now. I was persecuted in the line today at Raley's because that lady did not take my double coupons. And we make headlines out of things that really are not important. Why? Because we are thinking of ourselves in terms of ourselves, encapsulated by our own birth and death dates. And he says, the Christian life is so much larger and broader. And I was particularly taken by that aspect of him talking about needing roots in the past in order to give ballast to our obedience. Pastor Rick has a phrase where he talks about playing long ball. Now, evidently, that's a sports metaphor, and I don't really understand those all that well. But what he means by that is he's going to think about doing his life and his ministry and his parenting for generations that he'll never see. I admire that. Because he has roots in the past, and he has a forward goal into the future that is larger than his own birth and death dates. I think there's something that happens in Psalm 19 that's very similar and gives our obedience ballast, and it's called creation faith. I want to read the psalm, and by the way, if you have a smartphone or a tablet or a device, I'm going to ask you to look up some words and report to us. So get those at the ready when we get there in a moment. I'll just holler out, and I want you to give us some definitions. So now you have an excuse actually to look at the screen that you've been secretly looking at. Anyway, for the last couple of minutes. As I read the psalm, I want you to think about a solid foundation of creation faith. I'll say it again. A solid foundation of creation faith. Here we go, Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Draw a little line right there, either with a pencil or in your mind. The law of the Lord is perfect. Law is one of the words I want you to get a definition of. The statutes, there's another one, of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts, there's another, of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands, there's another lookup word, of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord, another one, is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances, that's the last one, of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. Then you know this phrase, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock. You ought to circle that. Rock and my redeemer. We're talking about the solid foundation of creation faith. There is an odd place in this psalm, and we talked about it in our small group last week. It's where I ask you to put that line. Sort of roughly divides the psalm into two parts, although there's kind of a postlude at the end, this may the words of my mouth line. But if you are doing just a quick glance through this psalm, it looks like that place where you drew the line is this hard pivot that doesn't really make any sense at all. We've been talking about creation. We've been talking about the heavens and the sun and a champion and a bridegroom and all of this marvelous stuff. The heavens declare the glory of God. And then come down to verse 7 and we have this hard pivot. The law of the Lord is perfect. Somebody look up the word law. What does it mean? Torah. The Torah, God's instruction. The instruction, the law, the Torah is perfect. Statutes. Anyone look up statutes? Law or decree that is instituted by a sovereign king. So it's a kingly dictate. Okay? Precept. Anybody look up precept? A general rule intended to regulate behavior or thought. Rules for living. Good. Commands. Who's got that? What's a command? An order, unilateral direction. I was watching A Mutiny on the Bounty yesterday on Turner Classic Movies, and they got finally sick of Captain Bligh and his arbitrary commands. And so, who is it who takes over? Mr. Christian, played by Marlon Brando, finally takes over the ship because he can't handle the commands anymore. But the commands of our sovereign God are what? Radiant. When's the last time you ever heard of a command being radiant? The next one is fear. The fear of the Lord is pure. What does fear mean? Anyone look that one up? Proper awe. I love that. Proper awe. Appropriate awe and wonder. And finally, the ordinance of the law. What's an ordinance? Yes.
A decree.
Oh, a piece of legislation enacted by an authority. You got something different? Oh, a discerned decree.
A
rite or a ritual. And so the psalmist makes this hard pivot, doesn't he? From the heavens and the skies and the day and the night and the voice and the earth and the bridegroom and the pavilion. And all of a sudden we get into these rules and regulations. And we get into these laws. And we get into Torah, commands, instruction, rules for daily living. What in the world does one have to do with the other? I want to suggest to you that though this is a psalm of orientation, I think you can make a case for saying that one can look at psalms like this, particularly that are loaded with creation faith, to help you in a time of disorientation. You know how I know? Because I'm in one and I tried it this week and it was an amazing thing. The picture in my mind that I'm seeing of solid creation faith is a giant honking slab of reinforced concrete. If you ever get the chance to get a behind-the-scenes tour of the Golden Gate Bridge and they take you down into the casement, you will see that all of these strands of wire come in and are anchored into what is an unbelievably massive piece of concrete, bigger than this room, full of a reinforcement bar. Or let's say you had some sort of very sensitive scientific equipment and you're measuring nanobits of something. Or you are looking at the stars and you have to have a foundation for your laser telescope. And these foundations are huge. Have you ever been to such a facility? Or you can imagine what I'm talking about. And here's the picture in my mind. In order for us to look very far or very particular, or in order to hold up very heavy things, one must have a very strong foundation. Makes sense, doesn't it? It just makes sense. In this particular case, the strong foundation is creation faith. And the second half of the psalm is not unrelated. The second half of the song is what we're looking at through the telescope, what we're able to see because of the vision that we now have, because our feet are planted firmly on an immovable foundation. Yucky stuff happening to you? Are you having a hard time? Does the ground under you seem to quake? Can you not even get to the point where you can even discern a command or a precept or a law from the Lord? I'm so overburdened, Pastor Chris, with these thoughts of depression or sadness, or my soul is heavy and downcast with it. I can't even begin to hear the voice of the Lord, much less discern what He's saying to me in His statutes. Then let me recommend to you that you plant your feet firmly on creation faith. Let me recommend to you that you anchor your bridge in that giant honking concrete anchor. Because it is from there that we can stand and we can see long distances. And we can see truth for what it really is. Look at the beginning again. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Listen, your life is not prescribed or described. What is it that Eugene Peterson said? The mistake of the moment, or the defeat of the hour, or the boredom of the day? No. Why? Because the heavens declare the glory of God. Get out of yourself. Stop thinking about your own woes, Chris Alford. And anchor down firmly in this. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. Are you in a place where you can't even begin to wrap your mind around hearing from God or discerning His statutes? No worries, because night after night, the firmament of God displays forth His knowledge. I had never seen the Milky Way clear and pure until I went with the church some years ago when we went down to Mexico. And we went out in the middle of a field. And there before me was the Milky Way in all of its splendor. Have you ever seen it? Unbelievable. And if that doesn't put you in your place right away, I don't know what will. Solid foundation, creation, faith. Root your feet in that. Listen, in the heavens, our God has pitched a tent. He's pitched a tent for the sun. Listen, in the Near East, the sun was worshiped, the highest of all deities. And in God's economy, the sun lives in a tent that He pitched. And it is a creation of God. Like a champion rejoicing to run his course, it rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Listen, do you not feel like getting up in the morning? Sometimes I don't. Do you feel sometimes like not rising in the morning? Plant your feet in solid creation faith. And know that this champion of the sun will come forth from his pavilion, rejoicing to run its course. And when you plant your feet in a firm foundation of creation faith, then things come into focus. And things seem right. Things seem appropriately ordered. Then we will no longer miss the point. Then we will not make headlines out of something that ought to be on page 37 in section C of the newspaper. Then we won't rail against the horrible, horrible things that happened to me when a rock hit my windshield and cracked it. Happened to me yesterday. I must be under satanic attack. Maybe, but my life is not circumscribed by my birth and death dates. And I'm going to play long ball, whatever that is, like Pastor Rick says that I should. And after I plant my feet on solid creation faith, then I am rightly ordered. Let me point out one or two things and we close. A key to this, I think, can be found in the last few verses. We looked at this business about statutes and precepts and commands and fear and ordinances, and I think that you can rightly concentrate on those once you have the other stuff worked out, which could be summed up like this: God is very big and you aren't. Number 12, who can discern his own errors? You can't. You can't. That's the problem with our narcissistic culture today. We're all talking about how we feel, how I'm going to present today. And I'm not going to submit to your reality. I have my own. Beloved, the problem with the culture today is because it has not planted its feet in creation faith and seen the heavens, because it has decided that we are the center of the universe and none of the rest of the stuff matters. So the psalmist says, you can't discern your own errors. And you see this beautiful response: feet planted firmly. Now I respond, forgive my hidden faults. I can't even see them, Lord. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. And now this word rock means so much more to me in light of creation faith. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock. I said a couple of weeks ago that if we make ourselves the true north, then we will forever be lost. Where are your feet planted? I want to suggest to you that you plant them in creation faith. I shall be transparent with you and say that I tried that this week when I was in a very low place. And so, in the quietude of my bed, instead of the usual prayers, though I was in a place of dislocation, I became my own psalmist, I guess. And I did what I encouraged us to do at the beginning of the worship service, that is, to work creation faith language into our prayers. Oh God, you made the heavens and the earth so far above me as the planets are now, or your thoughts, I cannot perceive them. And I think about the power of the storm that just passed, and I marvel at the stars that have come out in its place. And as I begin to plant my feet on creation faith themes, the rest of the stuff seemed to get smaller. Amen? Try it, would you? And when you are in a place of disorientation, look at one of these psalms of orientation, particularly those that have creation faith, and anchor yourself in that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the day. We give you thanks that you are God and we aren't. Hallelujah. I give you thanks that you are big and I am small. I give you thanks that I do not have to define my life by me. Because I'm a mess sometimes, Lord. We all are. But we will plant our feet in creation faith and acknowledge that you are Lord of the universe. And when we can't quite praise, we will look to the creation who does it continuously. Holy Spirit, I can imagine that there are some people here today who are in a place of disorientation. No matter where you find us, Lord, teach us, grow us, groom us, shape us, mold us into the image of Christ, and bring us to a place of new orientation in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.